The thing that is probably the most far-reaching in terms of speech sound development is the child's ability to take the sound that he's making and to pulse on it. And I'm calling this action skill 2D pulsing. This is the act of creating the first syllable-like markings. And it might sound like this. You can just envision a little baby doing that. Usually they're pulsing with their whole body. And pulsing seems to arrive first in a very, very gross fashion as children learn to move in rhythmic ways with their whole body. Often it's with the trunk, so that while they're producing their prolonged sound, they begin to rhythmically move their trunk up and down, flexing and extending in a small pattern. So they go, or they'll do it with their head, or they're even, I've seen kids do it with their arms or their legs. So they're producing a sound and they're using these gross movement patterns with their whole body in order to develop that pulsing sound. This is a very gross, sequential production of sound. But it's the foundation of all speech. All speech is rhythmic and pulsing. The ability to oscillate between oral movements and to oscillate sound is the essence of speech. And this is something that we have to teach our children to do. Pulsing not only will make them sound more speech-like, but the act of pulsing will encourage them to produce even longer sound. So it's a way that children naturally learn to produce even longer sound as they're motivated to keep that pulsing sound going. Modeling the sound is good, but the best technique, of course, is bouncing. Getting the child on a therapy ball or bouncing him on your knee on a trampoline, of course, or in bed, just bouncing up and down, up and down. On your knee, of course, you can impose that rhythm on them. Or on a therapy ball, you can impose that rhythm on them. But kids will also do it in their hands and knees, and they'll also do it just by flexing their trunk or kicking their legs. Again, this is a great place to dovetail what we want out of speech with what the child is doing in occupational and physical therapy. When a child can produce sound and he can prolong it and he can differentially control it out his mouth and his nose and he can assume basic oral postures and then he can project his voice and he can alter his pitch and he can begin to intone and he can pulse, he is sounding very speech-like at this point. And oftentimes parents will say of their little babies, "He's talking to me. I can hear that. He's saying all kinds of things, but I have no idea what he's saying." And this is where many of our clients are locked in. They come to us at the age of 3 or 4, and they're speaking like this, and they're very difficult to understand. And it sounds like they're talking, but you're not sure. I see many children like this who are 7, 8, 9 years of age and older, who have been essentially silent children all of their lives, but who at this point, the parents start seeing, "Hey, it sounds like speech is starting to come. I think I better, go see Pam Marshall and see if we can make this happen." And they come to me for an opinion. Is this speech? Am I hearing speech? Should we try to stimulate this? And the answer is yes, this is speech. It has been speech all along, but this is the point where the average listener, says, "Oh, I hear that. Yeah, that sounds like speech to me," because it's pulsed and it's intoned and it's projected and it's prolonged. All of these are the essence of sounding speech-like. A much older child who speaks like this will be described as totally unintelligible. And they are. They may be speaking to you in long utterances, telling you paragraphs about their trip to the zoo or the birthday party they had that afternoon. But it's very unintelligible speech. It's not quite jargon, which is what we'll talk about when we get into the sixth stage, advancing. So we don't have jargon or gibberish at this point. We just have the foundation for speech.